Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Menachas Daf Vav, Menachas 6a, pagination is 11, we'll start towards the bottom of the page, counting up from the wide lines, 5 lines up, Masnisen at the new Mishnah. We're dealing with the topic of Kemitza, which is the fistful which the Kohen takes of the flour that's in the mincha offering. And the Mishnah tells us, echad minchas chote ve'echad kol ha-menachos, whether it's a mincha of the sin offering or it's any mincha, shekomtzon zor, that a non-kohen took that fistful, is going to be pasul, invalid. So, on the word kmitza, we have a current word in modern Hebrew. The word kamtzon, which is used, means stingy, a person who is tight-fisted. Kmitza is that act, in this case, a correct act of service, but of grabbing, of tightening the fist around what's going to become the kemitza and is going to be offered on the mizbeach. But that act of closing the fist is kemitza. They say that we should pay attention and contrast the way a baby holds his or her hand and the way, lahavdil, a dying person holds their hand. The baby's intuitive nature is to grab. And a child starting out in this world, entering the physical world, is going to have a predisposition to be a grabber. And we have to work on our midos and know when to take, when to give. A person who's dying is open-handed. They don't take anything with them of the physical world to the next world. And it's all what they did with their assets in this world, assets being money or talent, etc., life, time, what they did with it, if they created tidbits of eternity with that, so that goes with the person. But otherwise, the person is open-handed on the physical level. So again, kemitza is to tighten the fist. And there was a particular way that it had to be done. The opening statement of the Mishnah is that kamtzan zor, if a non-Kohen would do this, it would be pasul. Now, the list is longer, and we'll get to the list in a moment. But just to observe that even though we said that kemitza corresponds to shchita in an animal-type karban, nevertheless, there's a major distinction here. Because shechita was permitted by a non-Kohen, whereas kemitza is forbidden by a non-Kohen. We will also see in a moment, the Tanakama holds its pasul. He impacts the karban and makes it invalid. There is a dissenting opinion that says that it's totally nothing, it should just be redone correctly. We'll get to that. Again in the Mishnah, shekamtzan zor, that a non-Kohen took the kemitza, or an onein, a person who's bereaved, they recently lost a close relative, tevul yom, a person who was tamei, went to mikvah, and is waiting for nightfall, mechusar begodim, he's missing the proper garments, the priestly garments for the avoda, mechusar kippurim, he may have even gone to mikvah, and gotten nightfall, but in some cases he's obligated to bring a karban. And as we recall from the beginning of Brachas, a person who went to mikvah, experienced nightfall, is going to be permitted in teruma, but regarding kodshim, the laws are stricter, and we're waiting for him to bring his karban before he's able to do the avoda. Or shalo rachatz yada v'raglov, he didn't do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, the proper washing before doing the Avodah. Orel, an uncircumcised Kohen, Rashi points out, we're not talking that he's a mumer, that he acted wrongly, he's acting correctly because his brothers died because of Mila and there's a danger and therefore the rule is that he should not do Mila. People like to associate the word hemophiliac to such a situation, but whatever the condition was that the first children, the first brothers, died, so they did not circumcise this person, but he's invalid to do the avoda, even though he's correct in what he's doing, in not getting circumcised, because it's a danger. Tameh, a person who's actively tameh, Yoshev, he's sitting. Pasuk says, La'amod l'shares, he has to be standing to do the avoda. Omer al gabe kelim, he's standing on something that's separating between him and the floor. Agabe behema, on top of an animal. Agabe ragle chavero, on the foot of his friend. Pasul, all of these cases are pasul, and they invalidate the carbon mincha. Likewise, kamatz besmol pasul, if he did the kmitza with his left hand, it would also be pasul. And as I mentioned, there is a dissenting opinion. Ben Becerra says, in all of these cases, yachzer v'yachzer, put the fistful back, v'yachzer v'yikmutz b'imin, and do it correctly. In the last case, it's with the right hand. In the other cases, a kosher kohen that's valid to do the avoda should do it. The Mishnah continues and tells us regarding the rule melo kumtso, a complete kometz, that it has to be complete, not too much, not too little. So kometz v'ala b'yado tsurar, if a pebble is part of the kmitza, got accidentally mixed in, o gargir melech, or a bit of salt, o korach levona, or part of the levona pasul, that's going to be pasul. And if you glance at the Shita Mekubetzes, Yudalid, he describes that the salt should not be put in there until it's ready to be brought on the Mizbeach. And the Lavona is purposely put on the other side. In other words, when he comes to take the kmitza, he purposely goes to one side and not the side of the levona in order to take the kmitza. Mipnei sha'amru, the Mishnah says, ha'komet ha'yesa v'achaser pasul, too much, too little in the kmitza, it has to be just right. Ve'ezo ha'yesa, what would be considered too much? Shekimtza mevoras, if it's overflowing, v'choser, and too little, shekamtza b'rashay etzba'osav, that he only used the tips of his fingers and didn't get a true fistful. Now, there's one item of unfinished business on this Mishnah that I'd like to mention, and that is in the opening statement of the Mishnah, minchas chotei and any mincha. So the Gemara asks what seems to be an obvious question, why did we identify the sin offering and all the menachos as well? Why don't you just say all menachos that were brought by a non-kosher to do the avoda kohen? And the Gemara answers, Reb Shimon Itzterich. We need it because of Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon has a principle. Tanya, Amar Reb Shimon, Bidinu Shetehe Minchas Chotei Tu'una Shemen Ulevona. On some level, we would prefer that the Minchas Chotei, which does not have oil and levona, should have. Shelo Yei Chotei Niskar, you know? We don't want the sinner to benefit that he should have a cheaper carbon, less expensive carbon than all the other situations of Mincha. So why is it indeed that it's less expensive? He doesn't have to have oil or lavona. Shaloye karbana mahudar. There's a principle. We don't want his karban to be so prestigious. So the minchas chote is ordinary flour. No oil, no lavona. Likewise, uvedinu shetei chatos chelev tuna nesachim. And really, a karban chatos, an animal, should require the libations with the extra mincha that goes along with that. Shlo yechota niskar, because why is the sinner getting away with just an ordinary karban animal and not having to bring the attendant extras? He should also have to bring the extras. So why doesn't it need? And this is the principle again. Shlo yeh karbano muhudar, because we don't want his karban to be prestigious. So it's missing the nesachim, and it's missing the minchas nesachim, and it only has the animal itself. So once you have this principle, that by a minchas chote, and by a karban of a chote, the chatos, we don't want it to be prestigious. Sakata dechamina, I would have thought. Hayova omer Rab Shemesh lo yehei karbana mehuda ki kamtzi lapsulin nami tiskasher. So maybe if it's done by a less prestigious person, we should let it through. It's great. It wasn't done by a kohen. It was done by a non-kohen that takes away prestige from the karban. We should like that. Kamash malon, it doesn't work like that. The extras are indeed limited, but it has to be done in the same way as every other mincha. And our Mishnah identified the minchas chote to let you know that Reb Shimon agrees with this ruling. There's a very intriguing Tosfos on the top of Amud Beis. Tosfos asks, Tema, what difference does it make with Nesachim, without Nesachim? Either way, it has to cost a Sela. And that's the coin. And it's not less expensive, more expensive. What does it mean, Shlo yehi chote niskar? And Tosfos ends off, v'lav pirchahu, and it's not a question. Don't let this bother you. So one reason it shouldn't bother you, the Tosfos that's mentioned in the margin here, Tosfos Zvachim Memches Amud Aleph, tells us because the sela is the price of the karban, the animal, and the libations were extra in addition. So that's one reason that this sela, the sela is for the animal. So it definitely is going to make his carbon cheaper. But if we consider the words of Tosfos by us, he doesn't answer, no, it's not true. It's sela for the animal and everything else is extra. He says, v'lav pirchahu. It's not a question. And I think that perhaps our Tosfos is going with a different reasoning, that not everything is about money. Even if it were true that the sela is the price for the entire package, but if you'd have to get shemen and lavona, it's more effort. And shelo yehi chote niskar, we should require that effort of the chote. And likewise, shelo yehi karbana muhudur, that is, a karban should not be so prestigious. It's not all about money. It could cost the same, it could cost a different amount. It makes no difference. But if it has libations, then it's a more prestigious karban. Again, v'lav pirchahu, it's not a question, because I'm asking you that the money is the same, and it could be that Tosfos held that question that I asked is not a valid question, because it's not all about money. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.